Hey guys, welcome to the Humor Podcast Machine. I am Taz, and this episode going to have my man D-Von. Brother D-Von will be the guest. We're going to go back, tell some old stories, talk about what's going on with him and his kids and stuff in the business, 3D Wrestling Academy. It's going to be great. Want to talk to you about my boys over at Bombfell Personal Styling Service, your own styles to help you make you look great. I'll tell you, they got you covered, man. As you guys know, we all hate to shop, but we want to look good in our daily lives. So the boys over at Bombfell, they're going to help us out with that. All you do is you set your budget, what you want to pay for, you know, how much you want to drop on clothes and whatnot. You give them your height, your weight, your measurements, and the places you like to shop. You know, the style clothes that you like to wear. That's all you got to do. And then they start sending you stuff to your doorstep. And Bombfell, they cover all shipping and returns. It's a service that's really flexible and simple to understand. You can pause or cancel at any time. No questions asked. No hidden fees of any kind. You pay for the clothes that you keep. That simple. You got 10 days to try on the clothes you receive that you get at your doorstep. You keep the ones you like and return the rest. That's it. No gimmicks at all. So put your wardrobe on autopilot with bombfell.com/TAZ.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
If you can survive, if I let you.
Dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition.
I love this reaction show
for the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
All right, guys. Hey, welcome to the human podcast machine. I am Taz, and thank you for downloading this edition and or subscribing to my show. I appreciate it. As I said in the beginning, the cold open, going to have D-Von on, Brother D-Von of the Dudley Boys, Team 3D, whatever you want to call it. My man, it's going to be a great interview. You guys are going to love this. Had a lot of fun chatting up with D-Von, really go into depth of how he started, what perked him, what got him going, the inspirations for the D-Von character, the Brother D-Von character, his history with the Dudley Boys, obviously Bubba Ray Dudley or Bully Ray, whatever you want to call him, the 3D Wrestling Academy. We're going to cover all this stuff, and you're going to hear about the next generation of D-Vons. You'll see what I'm saying when we get to that. Before we do that, I want to talk about 20% off stuff. I got a deal for you for 20% off of Mack Weldon, the highest quality shirts, socks, and underwear you will find anywhere. Seriously, Seth, my producer, open your mic. I know you need Mack Weldon because that undershirt you're wearing is horrible.
Yeah, I got holes in it.
And why are you not wearing a regular shirt and you're wearing an undershirt? Put a shirt on.
Because the fan's only on you and it's not on me. I'm sweating over here.
It is hot in here. You're right.
Chilling me.
You got to go to MackWeldon.com. They got to help you out. You get boxer briefs, trunks, undershirts. It's all legit. I myself got their starter kit, which was basically a crew neck undershirt. I got the white one, trunk underwear, which was true black. I got some striped socks. Give me a fancy signature bag. I throw the stuff in the bag. You type in my promo code, T-A-Z, Taz, and bada bing, you get 20% off just like that. Go to Mack Weldon, that's MackWeldon.com. Type in the promo code T-A-Z and get yourself 20% off.
Especially you're a single guy, you want to wear some nice stuff, you know? You
don't want exactly.
You want like Hanes underwear, like Fruit of the Loom. When you go on a date, you got to save the good underwear for
like
that.
Like a stiff, you wear that stuff. So look, speaking of stiff, so we're going to have D-Von on, right? So he was stiff in the ring.
Third punch?
Yeah, third punch he drew. Yeah, he'll talk about that. And I got to tell you, speaking of stiff, I tell you, it's stiff on me. What's stiff on me is my mental state lately, dude. Your kid's driving yet?
No, dude, no. Seven's the oldest.
Oh, okay, they're a little young. My kid is 16, so I'm teaching him how to drive now. He's going to get his permit, dude.
You got to tape. We got to get some cameras out there. We got to record this.
The kid hates me.
You want me to send my dad? My dad was a gym teacher, and he also taught driver's ed. If you want me to send him over to him.
I need his help.
Yeah.
Because I'm losing my patience on a regular basis with this kid.
Wait, if you say losing my patience, that means you had patience.
I know. You're right.
You never had any patience.
I have no patience. My son knows that. My wife.
And I met your son. He's a nice kid. You guys would be surprised. Like, that's Taz's son. It's like, how did that happen?
He's a nice kid until he gets on a field.
No concussions. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, thank God. Well, actually, unfortunately, he did have one, but he was younger. But he's good. No, he's cool. But he, you know, yeah, he's a low key guy until he steps on a lacrosse field. Then he goes nuts. But he's a chilled kid. He's different than me. I'm this type A psycho. And when I'm teaching people how to drive, I'm even more psycho.
Turn! I said turn! Turn!
Dude, I go crazy on it. I go crazy. Why are you not backing up? What do you mean? Well, you just parked in a spot. You're in an empty parking shop or whatever, a friggin' student, not a, whatever you call it, the strip mall. You're in a strip mall over here. It's 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. I brought you over here because there's no cars. You pull in a spot. I tell you to back up. He's in neutral. He's hitting the friggin' gate. I go, dude, first of all, why are you not where it says R? You got to be in reverse. Like, Dad, I didn't know that. Okay, well, you got to be in reverse. He goes, why are you yelling at me? I go, because you're doing it wrong, okay? And then why are you revving the engine if you back up that fast? It's not. Well, why would you go fast in reverse when you can't see? Then I realized I'm talking to a kid who never drove in his life.
Dude, you're a walking reality show.
Dude, this is the third time this kid's been behind the wheel. Third time.
All right, give him a break.
He hates me. He says to me, I want Uncle Dan to teach. That's my wife's brother. I want Uncle Dan to teach me how to drive. He's teaching his cousins, my nieces.
Wow.
He already bailed. He tapped out on me. I'm like, so you don't want me? He goes, no. He goes, it's... I go, why? He goes, it's a horrible experience.
You know, you make me nervous, too, because you make people nervous. You go snap at him, and they get all tense, and I mess up. And then you're like, don't mess up. And then I mess up. So it's your fault when I mess up.
I try working for Vince McMahon as long as I did, and then you'll see what happens.
It's your problem.
I know. You're right. And so the driving bit, not going well. So I think I'm banned from teaching this kid how to drive. He's gonna go to driver's ed anyway. I'm gonna get your uncle. He says a gym teacher.
My dad.
Your dad. I'm paying attention. I mean, it's hard. My dad, God rest his soul, was a great driving instructor. He taught me. He taught my brother. He taught a bunch of us in the neighborhood because he was patient. My father was different than me. He was a great instructor of driving. You know, grew up in the city. You know, understood. You know, how to drive in the city or suburbs, whatever. I wish I had my dad's patience as a driver, where my son is, the kid hates me because of these driving sessions we've had. I'm getting hot at him because we're in a parking lot and I tell him, work on putting your indicator on when you turn. See, I don't say signal. That's jabroni talk. I say indicator.
It's very fancy.
Well, because I got a big vernacular and I speak well too.
You have the manual.
So yeah, that's how I speak. And I said, listen, dude, you're going down this parking lot. You're doing 20 miles an hour. I want you to get used to turning left or right, and I want you to use your indicator. He goes, okay, Dad, no problem. He does it twice, right and left. We go in a nice circle. He's doing good, right? And next thing you know, he makes a left. He don't use his indicator.
Oh, snap.
I go, what are you doing? He goes, what? He jams on the brake, bro.
You scared him. That's your fault.
There's nobody in this lot. He jams on the brake, and it actually helped my neck. He adjusted my neck. I'm like, whoa, that actually felt pretty good.
He sends a chiropractor.
Yeah. I go, why are you jamming on the brakes? He goes, because you're screaming at me. And I'm like, maybe this isn't for me. No. I go, all right. He goes, Dad, I don't want to drive anymore. I go, no, you giving up? I go, you giving up?
Oh,
no, I'm not giving
now
up.
Now you're making him a quitter.
Don't give up. God. Don't give up. You keep driving. And this is how this went. So
you're a soul crusher. If you ever had to start wrestling again, you could be the soul crusher. You just crush people's souls.
I'm actually a motivator. People don't realize. You threw a flag on that. Yeah, so that's my driving thing. So
anyway. Soul crusher.
There was the, you know.
Kid wanted to never drive again. That's all anybody wants to do when they're 16. And you were so mean, he was ready to give up that whole dream.
I know. You're right.
You're a soul crusher.
I'm a horrible dad.
I didn't say horrible dad.
You implied it.
No. Soul crusher.
You implied him a horrible. Now you ruined my dad.
I met the kid. He's a great kid. He can't be that bad of a dad.
I'm not that bad. My wife's just a great mom. That's what it is. All right, look. So we got Devon coming up. He's speaking of a great dad. Devon's a great dad. And you're going to hear about that. So we got Devon Dudley, my man, brother Devon, coming at you next. Sit tight. Quick break. I'm Taz. Don't go nowhere.
Testify.
All right. This is break time. I want to talk about Audible.com. I'm a big fan of this, and I'll tell you what, they got a special offer for you, my fans, my listeners, supporters of HPM. Check this out. Audible is offering all listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free, check this out, 30-day trial membership. Not only does Audible have over 180,000 titles to choose from fiction, nonfiction, bestsellers, every category imaginable, but check this out, tons of wrestling content on there. Free apps for iPhones, iPad, Android, Windows Phone. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/TAZ and choose from over 180,000 titles. Download a title free and start listening. Yo, it's that easy. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Taz, T-A-Z. That's audiblepodcast.com/TAZ and get started today. Let me get this straight. It's May, and your fantasy baseball team's already in the toilet. Well, look, don't sit back there and second-guess yourself. Get back in the game and check out DraftKings.com, America's favorite daily fantasy baseball site where you can win huge cash prizes every day. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, no slogging through long season to collect your winnings, just instant cash, instant gratification. It's like a new season every time you play. Simply pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to a massive payday. In fact, last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day just by playing fantasy baseball. That is nuts. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in huge at DraftKings. Now it's up to you, dude. Check it out. Hurry to DraftKings.com. Enter my promo code TAZ. That's Taz. TAZ to play for free. You could be part of a $300 million in cash and prizes awarded to you this season. That's nuts. Use the promo code TAZ for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. All right, welcome back right here to the Human Podcast Machine. This is Taz, and as promised, on the hook is my homeboy, my man, Devon. Brother Devon, Devon Dudley, what's up, Big D?
What's going on? I just got finished hanging and banging in the gym, not the mid-city gym like Hulk Hogan used to do in the 80s, but something similar to that, my brother. You know, I got to keep that body going, looking good. Listen, kissing babies. Making babies, doing whatever I got to do.
Bro, you just butchered the whole gimmick.
listen to some Keith Sweat, some Jodeci, bro, I'm in.
You're a crazy man. Oh, jeez. Bro, most people know, how much good friends we are, how many years we know each other, but I don't know if they really know how many years, like way back to when you broke in and all that. And when you broke in with Johnny Rods, and for those that don't know, Devon and I broke in under the same guy, the Unpredictable Johnny Rods in Brooklyn, and Devon started after me. So I was not there while you were training and broke in and stuff like that. But
no.
So when you were training with Johnny, so like who were the main guys that you were working with in the dojo, in the gym?
Wow. A guy by the name of Latin Lover, Julio Torres.
Yes.
Dancing with Dudley's.
Of course.
Adolfo, he was there.
And Larry, right? Briscoe.
Larry Briscoe was there. Vito was there. Big Vito was there.
I forgot about Vito was there. I forgot about him. Okay.
Vito was there. He would come back because he was kind of enhancement talent for WWE back in the early, early days where they had like wrestling challenges and all of that. So when I came to the school, he was like the big star there because, even though he was enhancement talent, he was still talent on TV. So I'm looking at him going, oh, my God, he's one of the big guys. But, Larry Briscoe and Vito did help me along the way. A lot of Larry Briscoe, though. And yeah. I used to always say Larry Briscoe came way too late. I think if Larry would have came during the Ball Backlund days and, all the earlier days, he definitely would have been a star because he was almost as similar, correct me if I'm wrong, just like Ball Backlund.
He was.
And if not better.
He was.
That's not a knock at Bob Backlund, but I mean Larry Briscoe. In order for me to get in shape, to do what I had to do to go down there to the ECW dojo and to show you and Perry Saturn what I had, so you can go back to Paulie and tell him, "Hey, this kid's got it." it was because of Larry Briscoe that got me in that type of shape.
You know, I had a feeling that. I didn't know that. That it was Larry, and for those hearing the name Larry Briscoe, many of you probably don't know who he is, and it's he was no relation to the original Briscoe brothers or the Briscoes that are in Ring of Honor, but I think it was a name that Johnny Rods gave him, because I remember when Larry first broke in, I was already had, I don't know, probably a year or so under, but couple years under my belt, and Johnny Rods gave him the Briscoe last name because he was such a fluent amateur wrestler, and his style was very similar to Jack Briscoe. So that's absolutely where that came from, for those that don't. I know you knew that, D, but a lot of people didn't know that.
Right, yeah, because, you know, he was, I believe he was state champ and all of that. He had all the medals and stuff, so he decided to go into professional wrestling like some do, because, you know, after, you know, you reach the top, if not the Olympics, where else are you going to go?
Exactly. And you know what? Hey, bro, if it was now, though, could you imagine now with the surgence of MMA and the popularity of pro wrestlers and entertainers utilizing submission and stuff like that and suplexes, a guy like Larry Briscoe probably would have done pretty well for himself today.
I think Larry Briscoe probably would have been, and people are going to be like, oh, my God, I think he's being ridiculous. But I think he could have probably beat the Gracies.
Well, no, he was that good. No, he was legit, dude.
Yeah, he was. And if not beat them, then definitely hang with them. I mean, he definitely would have been a name to, you know, reckon with.
Bro, you know, though, this was before your time. When I was in that dojo, you know, he never beat me. I just want you to know that.
Well, you know, okay, next question.
Come on! You gotta be kidding. No, here's the thing. So, like, you touched on a little bit about the ECW Dojo and myself and Perry Saturn. And again, for those that don't know, like, and I've talked about this in the past, and I think you have too, and just, like, when Paul Heyman, was going to do the Dudley gimmick, you know, and I've talked about this on my show before, D, you might not have heard it, but the thing is, and I talked about it with Bubba too, you know, like, and you know, because you lived it. So, like, the right. Dudley gimmick was I explained on a recent podcast about Big Daddy Dudley and the gimmick behind it. He was an independent pro wrestler that traveled all over the country and impregnated all these different women of all these different races, right? And that's why there was an African-American Dudley, there was a white Dudley, there was a Native American Dudley. It was going to go on and on, as you know. And
absolutely.
But you and Bubba, it stopped at you and Bubba, but that's who really made it. But and Spike, obviously. But the thing was, I remember when Paul Heyman came to me, he said, Taz, you know, because the House of Hardcore was going pretty good at the time. He goes, yo, I want a guy that's like, what's his name, from Pulp Fiction, Samuel mm-hmm. Jackson. He goes, I need a guy that can pull this off, but a guy that could work. And I go, what are you looking to do? Because I want a Dudley. I want to put him with this other guy, and this will be the Dudley that is African American. You know, to be, you know, the right way to handle this. And I said, all right, well, you know, I'll ask around. And of course, the first thing I did was call Johnny Rods. You know, so I said, Johnny, you know, this is what ECW is looking for. Do you know anybody? Somebody in the Northeast? He goes, brother, I got the perfect guy. Oh my! And he put you over like God. You know. And yeah. I believe you were a mailman back then.
Yeah, I was a disgruntled postal worker.
And now you're a disgruntled tag team member because you got a crazy partner.
Exactly. You know, the great part about it is I was going through some heartaches back then, dealing with the ex-wife and this and that, because you talk about crazy, that woman was disgruntled. That woman was crazy. And thank God I'm done with that one. good God. But but it got to the point where I got my head on straight, and I went back to the wrestling school, and I started busting my behind. And Johnny came to me, and he says, you know, I trained Tommy Dreamer and Taz. And I said, yeah. He goes, you know, they're doing ECW. I said, absolutely. He goes, well, how would you like to go to ECW? And I remember watching you guys when I used to bounce in the club.
Right.
And I used to say to myself, these motherfuckers are crazy. They're picking barbed wire bats and garbage cans. I had never seen wrestling like that before.
Yeah.
And what made it good for me to look at it, because I saw a brother by the name of Ron Simmons on there one time. You guys just put him in a commercial, and my words, and it wasn't created back then, but I said, well, damn, if he's on there, then I want to go. And so I remember telling Johnny Rice, I didn't want to, but I remember telling him, yeah, I'll definitely go, you know, because I was petrified of it. I never got hit with anything like that before. And then I remember I came in the following week, and he says, yeah, I called Taz and told Taz about you and this and that. And I also told Taz that you would blow everybody up down there. I said, Johnny, why would you do that? I said, have you not watched that show? I don't think blowing up and I don't think that has anything to do with what they're
blowing guys up.
I said, these guys are number one. They're hitting people with barbed wire bats, throwing through tables and thumbtacks. I said, I'm sorry, but you never taught us that.
For some people might not know what blowing up means. That means you get in the ring, you wrestle somebody to the point that you out-wrestle them from a cardiovascular standpoint and they can't hang with you. That's old Absolutely. School. That's Johnny. And Johnny worked you a little because I called Johnny. But truth be told, weeks prior, not weeks, probably months, he was telling me about you. So that's partially true. But that initial thing was, it was like, you know, Heyman was like, I need a guy, and you were the guy that fit. And then you came. You know, I set it up with Johnny because I had never met you or talked to you, that you'd come to Long Island to the ECW school, to the dojo, to like for a tryout. That's how it was done, as you know, back then. And, bro, you just tore it up.
Well, you know, the saving grace was, and I have all nothing but respect for this man in terms of Perry Saturn. I remember walking in there scared to death.
Yeah.
Scared to death. And I remember...
Wait. So we weren't warming and stuff and inviting?
Yeah, no, especially you. Thank God I didn't wear orange and black that day.
Well, you know, bro, you know.
But I walked in, and I remember walking in, and I'll never forget it. Bubba was in the corner, like we have some of the young boys, not saying a word.
Yep.
Just, you know, hey, you know, he was just quiet and humble. And I think if people would have seen that type of Bubba back then, they would never believe what they see today.
I actually missed that Bubba. I miss it.
And I just remember walking in there and putting my gear on it and being, you know, like I said, scared as I would be because, you know, I'm walking in
and
not knowing what's, you know, going to be, you know, against me in that ring. And I remember getting in the ring with Saturn, and I remember you were standing at ringside and you said, okay, you said, show me this. And Perry and I started going, and anybody who knows Perry knows that, number one, if you screw up, number two, if you hurt him. Number three, if you just don't know how to wrestle, he's going to kill you.
Yes, yes. So, yes and yes.
I had no idea about this man when I got there. I just knew he just looked like some crazy, jacked up, you know, wrestler that could probably kill me. I had no idea that it was legit. And I get in the ring, and we start going. My claim to fame is that when everything was said and done, you walk, got closer to the ring. He's on one knee. I'm standing up, bouncing around. And you go, so, how was he? And she looks at you and he said, yeah, the kid can go.
I remember that. He was blown, yeah.
He was blown sky high. And if anybody knows, again, Perry Saturn, you cannot.
No, you're blowing him up.
You cannot blow him up.
Yep.
And I remember sitting there and you went, okay. All right, and Perry is on one knee, and he's breathing, and he just goes, and you went, all right, cool. He said, so you want to see something else? You got anything in your tank, Yvonne? And I said, yeah, I got a lot of things. I said, I'll go again. I said, you want to go? Perry goes, no, he's good.
I remember that, yeah. True story.
He's good. And, you know, from that point on, everything just skyrocketed, and it started going great from there. And then I went and had the meeting with Paulie at the ECW production place where we shot all the videos and stuff.
Yep.
And he looked at me and he says, who do you like? And I said, excuse me? He goes, who do you like? What's your favorite movie? And I said, well, Rocky III. He goes, ah. He goes, I guess you were a big hero of Sylvester Stallone. And of course, I said the opposite. I said, nope. I said, Mr. T, Clever Lang. He was like, really? He was like, yeah, I was like, I imitated my director. He goes, you can do Clever Lane. You can do Mr. T. I said, absolutely. And all of a sudden, he says, well, give me a little version of it. And I did it, and his mouth dropped.
Yep.
His mouth dropped. He couldn't believe it. And he goes, you sound just like this man. He actually called Dreamer from the other room and said, well, listen to this. Dreamer heard it and said, damn, I thought it was Mr. T. I wouldn't have known any better. And that's when he looked at me and he said,
well, I never got called. Let me hear you do it now. I'm a big mark for Clever Lane, Mr. T.
Get that while you can. Don't get that sucker no statue. Get him gut. I told you I wasn't going nowhere.
Hey, woman.
Hey, woman. Hey, since your old man ain't got no heart, I tell you what. Why don't you bring your pretty little stuff over to my apartment tonight, and I'll show you what a real man can do.
Damn, bro. You do it. It's exactly like him. No, I didn't know you. I knew you had skill. I don't know. Wow, that really was weird. That was because I was a big mark for Clubber Lang, Mr. T. Also, wow, damn. All right. So yeah, no, you had. I mean, a lot of people. Look, man, Paul knew he said, look, this D-Von guy is the deal. He's the real deal. Like, he knew it. Like, your work rate in the ring, and like I talked about Pulp Fiction and stuff, maybe you could talk about that with Paul, because a lot of people don't know. I mean, that was a big inspiration for Testify and the character. So maybe get into that for people that don't know.
Yeah, my parents being reverends, you know, I grew up in a very Christian and Baptist household. And, you know, was, you know, Sunday school, reading the Bible, quoting scriptures and things like that. When we were sitting down after I did the Mr. T gimmick, he said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen Pulp Fiction? And at that time, I said, no, I hadn't seen it. I had heard about it, but I didn't see it. And he says, well, it's on DVD now. VHS.
VHS, bro. Come on, old school VHS.
How far are we going? Yeah. So he said,
bro, you know your kids don't know what a VHS is, because my kid don't know either.
Hey, let me tell you something. It was so far back that they didn't even have Blockbuster back then, okay? They had your locally owned
video store.
Video store.
Word, I got it.
So he says, yeah, listen, it just went to VHS. He says, why don't you go get it, take a look at it, and come back and see me. I said, okay. So I went and got it, and the first scene that you see, of course, is Samuel L. Jackson. And, of course, he told me about the character to watch out for. So I looked at it and came back to the studio, and he says, can you do that? I said, oh, that's simple. He goes, why is it simple? And I said, because both of my parents are preachers. I said, and not to mention, I grew up in the church. I said, quoting scriptures and things like that, that's a given. And he says, all right, well, let me hear you say the last, you know, part that he does right before he shoots the guy. And I just went, and I went right into character, you know, to the path of the righteous man. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. And right there he stopped and he said, that's it. I want you to combine Mr. T, Samuel L. Jackson, with that Mike Tyson type of edge.
Yeah.
He said, can you do it? I said, absolutely. And D-Von Dudley was born.
Bro, and I got goosebumps hearing you tell that story because I knew the backstory of it. I wasn't there when you and Paul did all that, but... man, I just, you know, I got to tell you, and, you know, we go way back and we're close friends, and I always felt, even though all the success you had, and still have, I mean, and I mean, you and Bubba, all the tag team titles, I mean, it's like 25, whatever the hell, 30 titles, every major promotion, you know, I'm really, it's insane, I don't even know the number, I mean, but the thing is,
24 to be exact.
Oh, there you go. Just saying, bro. I'm just saying. 24. Just saying. You know? So, no, but I've always felt, and it's going to sound crazy, that you and Bubba, not as a team, you guys weren't underrated. You were rated properly, high, but individually underrated. And we, you know, in TNA, while Bubba was there as of recent and he got his run as a world champion, he did a great job. And you got to see the talent in Bubba at, you know, outside of the Dudley Boys or Team 3D. And we saw a little bit of that with you in WWE, with changing the gimmick more. I remember the gimmick. It was like Reverend D-Von or something like that.
Batista.
Yeah, with Batista. But I don't think you got your full, not heat on you. It was kind of on them not really pushing it right. It was a different time then. I just think you as D-Von, the character, just people hearing the way you could do what you do, just here, you're underrated. You've always been underrated, in my opinion. Seriously.
I couldn't understand when I was in TNA. I mean, in WWE, when we did the Reverend D-Von character, I understood a little bit of what was going on and why that didn't make it, because I didn't have confidence in myself until the last ending of that character went about. But by that time, it was a little bit too late, and we brought me and Bubba back together. And, you know, I kind of understood because we created more history after that. But when we got to TNA, definitely unjust, and definitely not justified in what they did. In terms of, you know, pushing one and not wanting to push the other, whether it was from a financial standpoint and not wanting to cut my money, that's what it all seemed to boil down to. But for you to stop me from wanting to do what I can do and to be able to contribute, and not only that, but willing to help out the younger talent and help get them over.
Yep.
I mean, there were times where I was begging the office to let me go on the road and work with Robbie, Rob, Terry, and all those other guys, young guys that were coming in to help elevate them. Let me help them, and they just wouldn't do it. You know, they would keep me home and this and that. So it didn't make any sense to me why they were doing what they were doing. And every time I got in that ring, you know, the chants were loud, you know, D-Von and we want D-Von and D-Von
is better.
What happened? And it was just, I was on a, and when Hogan got there, and a lot of people don't understand this, when Hogan got there, Hogan was the one that was behind, you know, me all the time with that television title.
I heard Hulk in meetings put you over huge. I heard it.
Yep. And he was just telling me, he goes, Devon, for the life of me, he goes, we're looking for people to get the response that you get in that ring, but yet the powers to be in TNA won't do it. And I'm hearing all these reports that Hogan is just pushing and pushing and pushing, and nobody's listening to him until finally the whole thing with Robbie E happened when I got the television title, and nobody really gave a crap. And they were like, Hogan said, why don't you just switch the title, give it to Devon, let him run and see what he can do. And everybody was like, well, yeah, okay, whatever, and next. And all of a sudden, they disregard that as being anything, and it wound up being huge.
Yep.
And it wound up being to the point where once I left, because the contract disputes, it got to the point where the television title was now the main focus, and what was Devon going to do with that title. And when I walked away as the champ and said, you know, I'm done with this company. I can't put up with it anymore. There was so much stuff that was going on that just wasn't right, and people weren't doing the right thing. You had people that were in that company that had no business calling the shot, but yet they were calling the shot, and they had no clue on how pro wrestling should be run.
It's not much different now.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where that was the downfall of WCW, and, you know, I was afraid that TNA was going to fall in the same realm. People who are in that company should not be calling the shot, and people who are in the company that know what they're doing aren't able to call the shot, and it's always been that way, and that's the sad part about it.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. So, I mean, I'm out of there now, and on my terms, and I wanted to be out. It's just like,
right,
because I felt a lot of that same thing, and I saw a lot of bad business moves. Look, I think their desire's there to make things work right. I do.
Right.
I think they think they're doing the right thing with certain people, and they think they're doing business the right way. I don't think they're intentionally trying to, like, I know when I was there, and I was in production meetings or agent meetings at TV, and if your name were to come up, no one was burying you. Like, no, let's not push Devon. No, let's deep put that. That never happened. I think they probably knew with myself in the room and Bubba in the room, that wasn't going to happen, you know?
Right. And Hulk. And that was the same because you guys were in there. But what would have been the case if you guys weren't in there? And that was one of my major decisions on leaving. The whole thing with the whole Aces and Apes thing, I really wasn't coming back. I was done. And when you guys had gotten done with TV that Thursday, Bound for Glory was that Sunday, and you guys did TV live that night, I met with Bruce Pritchett right after the show in the hotel in Orlando to discuss whether I was going to come back or not. So everybody thought that whole thing with the Aces and Apes of me coming in was all planned from the get-go, and it wasn't. I was going to that hotel thinking that I wasn't going to resign and that I was just going to go, okay,
I didn't know that. I had no clue.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, nope, nobody knew. And it was so kept under hush because I remember your reaction and Nate's reaction was priceless when they unmasked me. And you know what the great thing about it is? Dick didn't even know.
Well, that's consistent with a lot of things. I digress.
So, yeah, well, you know, I didn't say what? But she didn't even know. Nobody knew, and none of the boys. There was only five people that knew that I had said okay to the deal and decided to come back. There was only five people that knew. And we kept it so hush-hush. The great part about it is they got me covered from head to toe when I walk into the building. When it came time to go in the back entrance of where Aces and Apes used to come out, I'm standing there next to Doc and Knox,
yeah,
and Garrett and Wes, and none of them knew it was me.
That's great, bro.
None of them knew it was me, and I put my head down because they were all looking at me under the mask and everything, trying to see who it could be.
And you know as well as me, that's such a lost art, the kayfabe stuff like that, especially with social media now, and to keep things under wrap. It's like when recently when Bubba, you know, debuted in what was the Royal Rumble for WWE. I didn't know. I don't know if you knew. You probably knew. I didn't know. I was sitting there like a mark. I was shocked. Like, oh, look at that. It's Bubba. It was funny.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where we did keep it, you know, under wraps. And, you know, it was good that we were able to do that because the reaction when that mask came off was priceless. You had to be in that arena.
Yeah, it was sick.
And it was just, it was almost like, oh, my God, what? You know, they had no idea. And then the reaction that we got from social media and all of that from it, it was great. So,
it was. And so, I got to say, though, but look, all kidding aside, you know, even though your ending sounds like it kind of was a little rough with TNA and all, and you did have a good run there, though. I mean, you guys, you and Bubba together, and you know, you did. You did a lot of good stuff there, and you know, same to me as an announcer there. I'm thankful for the opportunity he gave me, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? There was no question about it, Taz, that we had a good run, especially when we were together. Bubba and I helped build that company, which was good. You know, and I said we helped. We didn't build it.
Right.
We helped build it.
Right.
And, you know, we were very happy to do with the young talent there, like Beer Money, like Eric Young and,
right.
you know, the Naturals who were there at that
yep,
time.
Yep.
And, you know, LAX and, you know, all of the teams, all of the young guys, you know, the Machismos and, you know, all those guys that were there during that time, Motor City Machine Guns. And if I've omitted anybody, I apologize. But, you know, we had a lot of fun with all those guys. And, you know, being on the road, we were like a unit, a family. And, you know, it was just sad to see a lot of it dismembered because of the fact that it was poor judgment and poor creative and all of that at the time, letting certain people go that they shouldn't have and keeping people that they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, again, that's where wrestling mind should have stepped in and said, hey, listen, this is how it works. Please don't go, you know, away from this. You know, you can't have corporate run your company. Corporate is good to manage the money and things like that, but when it comes to putting storylines,
well, I'm laughing because their corporate doesn't manage their money well.
Yeah.
They don't cash flow to cash. They're not flowing the cash.
You know, and this gets to the point where, you know, if you don't have wrestling minds like we both said, you, me, and Bubba, and everybody else who knows, if you don't have wrestling minds behind it, you cannot be successful. I don't care what you have. Listen. Here's the deal, and I firmly believe this. Linda McMahon and Vince, we both know what their roles were in the company. Linda handled things behind the scenes in terms of, you know, financial things like that, and Vince did storylines and so forth and so on, you know, and made sure the wheel ran that way, and he had other people running the other stuff, you know, and Linda was behind it. It was all a family unit. It was all a family thing. You know what I'm saying? So it got to the point where, you know, everybody knew their role. It was just the point that I don't think people knew their role in TNA, and that's sad because that company so had it.
Yeah, well, totally. It had one of the best.
It still does it. They could save it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully it works out for them. I don't know. It could. I mean, who knows? I mean, speaking of family, I want to ask you this to segue. Speaking of family, you know, I know your sons are both wrestling now, so I'm assuming that, you know, I know the success you and Bubba have at the 3D Academy down there in Florida with your dojo. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I'm assuming that you and Bubba train your sons, right?
Absolutely. And you know what, Taz? I am so proud of those boys. Not only, I mean, I remember, you know, them when they were 2 years old.
Oh, little guys,
But now they're 20 years old, and they're, before they used to be scared of their own shadow. Now they're freaking, you know, beating people up and taking names like they're old man. I mean, it's freaking phenomenal, and they're bigger than me, which is phenomenal. I love it. It's great.
I saw a picture of them with you on your Twitter account. I couldn't believe how big they've been. They've definitely been training. But they both were athletes. They were both pretty good football players, I remember, in high school, right?
Absolutely. They were very, very good in their senior year and everything, and a lot of colleges and stuff were looking at them. But in their senior year, they decided to step away from that and get into the amateur wrestling. They started that at 10th grade, and they just never looked back. They love it. They both went to states, and both of them, believe it or not, unfortunately missed it by, you know, the whole thing in terms of, you know, winning states and all that by 1 point each.
Oh.
They failed on time. I mean, it was heart-wrenching. But at the same time, I was so proud of them and what they did. And then all of a sudden, they come to Team 3D Academy, you know, where Bubba and I are training, and they come in, and they're just taking it up by storm. I mean, it was funny. I was seeing things left and right, and then all of a sudden, Bubba came into the school one day, and I said, Bubba, sit down for a second and take a look at this. And he starts watching them, and you know how hard Bubba is.
Yeah.
Bubba is extremely hard, and even if it's somebody like family, he'd be the first one to want to say, nah, they ain't
got it. He'd be worse, actually.
It would be worse. And we're sitting down, and we're watching them, and I don't say a word, and they're going in, and they're going in, and they're doing it. He looked over to me, and he said, Devon, that's money right there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, look, you got two kids that are obviously athletes, and then not just great football players, excellent amateur wrestlers, that in itself, and now growing up in the business in a household of a pro wrestler, a successful wrestler, you know, having a dad like that, and they were always in locker rooms. I remember when they were little, you were always having them at the shows, no matter if it was ECW, well, and WWE and all that, and then TNA. I always remember seeing these kids, and they just kept bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm sure they both are going to have a tremendous career ahead of them. It sounds like it.
Absolutely, and I'm like I said, I'm very proud of them. They are doing a hell of a job, Terrence and Terrell, and we just did a road trip. I took half of the team through the Academy students down to Alabama, and we did a road trip down there, and I'm going to tell you, Taz, we tore down the house. The boys and I were in a six-man tag together against one of my students and two of the local guys, tore that down, and then the other students that were there, my God, I am so proud of the Team 3D Academy of Professional Wrestling, our school. It's unreal. You know, we're sitting up here banging people out left and right, teaching them the proper way of doing things, teaching them the old school way that Johnny Rodge taught to you and I and Dreamer and Big Big W, God rest his soul. We're actually doing the bump exactly like Johnny taught us. The whole skill, everything, you name it, we're doing it. Team 3D Academy has produced more wrestlers on the indie circuit and probably going back and forth just all over, probably than any other school next to Booker School in Houston, Texas. I mean, we are just going out there and just doing it all. I'm so proud of my kids. The great thing about it is that every time I get feedback, even when Bill DeMott was at NXT and then Regal and all of those guys,
Wait, let me slow you down, bro. So I remember when Billy broke in DeMott with for those that don't know, Bill DeMott broke in with Johnny Rods also. Yep. But now I believe he was in the class with Dreamer, right? That was after me.
Yes.
But before you, but before you.
Well, he was Bill had just left when I got there, but Bill was still coming around and doing shows for Johnny. So I had met Bill while he was freaking, huge.
Monster. I remember.
Arms, freaking, just huge.
Looked like he lift a house back then, dude. He was a monster.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, you look at guys like that were big like that. They couldn't move.
He's an athlete.
This man is slipping off the top rope, moonsault and all that. I'm looking at him going, oh, my God, you got to
be kidding me. He's some athlete,
Yeah, but you know, it was a testament to all of us, you know, coming up in the same school, and then to be able to pass that knowledge down to the younger generation, it's just tremendous. I mean, Taz, we train Haku's boys, one who's in TNA right now, who was in WWE.
I did not know that. I didn't know that.
We trained Tecida, Haku brought him to us first, and then Partey. Brought them to us first, and we trained them. And then Partey went off to be a big star in Japan now.
Yeah.
And Tofito went to SmackDown, became a star there. Now he left there, and now he's in TNA Wrestling. We produced Jesse Neal. We did Big Rob Perry, Rosie Lotalove, the Bendejos, who are now being seen on TNA.
They're great. Those guys are great. Yeah.
Oh, man, phenomenal. Sam Shaw.
Yep.
I mean, forgive me if my mind is going in a million directions. Forgive me if I'm on
Chris Melendez,
yes, thank you. He's another one of our students. And you know what? Let me tell you something. If we could teach a guy with one leg to go in there and do what he's doing in that ring and to do it as if he had two legs, imagine what we can do with any superstar that has a dream that wants to become a professional wrestler.
No.
If you have the dream, if you have the balls, if you have the intestinal fortitude to come down to our school and be trained the right way, Team 3D Academy of Professional Wrestling in Kissimmee, Florida, area code 407-390-9005. Call me. I'll be ready. Bubba and I both will be standing there welcoming you in with open arms.
Just cut a promo, bro. It's great. I just love it. I want to come down there and get retrained. Maybe you guys can teach me finally how to sell. Can you teach me how to sell? We've wrestled each other a few times. I wasn't a good seller.
Hey, brother, I was known as the best seller in the business. How you think you got over when you got in the ring with me?
Well, that's a fucking shoot. That's no bullshit. You ain't lying, man. I love working with you, and that's the truth.
Oh,
no, because your offense was – my character was the killer, right? So your offense was so believable because you were bigger than me and you were so rugged, but yet you bumped like a machine and you sold great. I'm like, Paul, I want to work with D-Von every night. This is easy. Except those right hands. I didn't like the right hands. They hurt. You were like Sabu. You were like Sabu with those freaking right hands.
Hey, brother, hey, I would say sorry right before the third punch because I knew the third one would connect.
That's Sabu. That's the same gimmick. No, I mean, the thing about you and Bubba's students and your dojo in the school, you know, with those that don't know, because behind the scenes, the way these, I'll call them kids for lack of better terms, these yep. kids you guys are training, these athletes you're training, the respect they have and the way they conduct themselves in the locker room is something of old school, which you don't see anymore. And I got to tell you, it's refreshing. There's no entitlement. There's no ego. There's no attitude. It's a hunger. It's a desire. It's a confidence, but it's respect.
Let me tell you, Taz, we check those attitudes at the door, and we warn them before they come in. I had a guy come in. We call him Monster. He's 6'10", 6'11". He's well over 350 pounds, and I mean, he's a monster. And I sat there and I told him, we had a nice long talk. And when everything was said and done, I said, listen, you leave your attitude at the door. I don't care how big you are. I said, I'm going to guarantee you right now, you get out of line with us and Bubba and I both. If not Bubba, I will chop you down to size.
Well, that's a shoot.
I said, believe me. I said, I will not hesitate to do that. I said, in this business, you will learn respect. You will learn respect for your peers that you're working with. You will learn respect for the guys who have paved the way for you. You're going to learn respect. And God help you if I heard that you went into anybody's locker room, anyone's locker room, and didn't show the proper respect.
Well, see, that's a lost art. See, a lot of these guys with these rinky-dink bullshit wrestling schools, they don't have that legacy behind them like you guys have, you know, and they don't like you guys or a Booker T or a Lance Storm, you know, guys who are credible guys, you know, guys Absolutely. That have been there, done that, and have succeeded, you know. But I've talked about the 3D Academy on my show here many times. I've had Bubba on talking about it, too, and I've sent people down. I've told people, go down to Florida. You want to get trained right, just don't dick around. Save your money so you live down there. Do whatever you got to do. Those guys will help you out. You want to get trained right, just stop messing around and just go down there. And I mean it. I believe in it.
You know, the great part about it is, and here's the deal. The WWE, NXT, and FCW, when it was called FCW at one point, when they were in Florida before they turned into NXT, or the Performance Center, they were basically the guys that didn't make it. The guys that didn't make it, they would tell them, go to the W school. If you want to learn the right way of doing things, go to the W school. And here's what I loved about that. Here it is, we were working for TNA at the time. And although we had the wrestling school and we were open and we were, you know, just going, here it is, at the time we're working for TNA, we have the wrestling school, and yet they're telling them, hey, go to these guys. Go to these guys. They didn't care about the TNA. They said, listen, we see potential in you, but we know that you can be helped in a different way. You need to go to the W school. For them to say that, what does that tell you? It speaks volumes.
Yeah.
They didn't have to say that. They could have said, hey, go to another school, or go to this school, go to that school, and come back to us. But they specifically would tell them, go to the W school. We had so many people come to us that didn't make it in the tryout that Steve Kern or Matt Boom, A-Train, Bill DeMont, when he was there, they would all tell him, go to the W school, go to the W school, then come back to us.
Well, he gave you that endorsement for you and Bubba, and that's huge. And that, you know, look, it's not just your legacy, but when your peers or a company the level of the WWE, the biggest of all time and worldwide, they, you know, and when they're endorsing your school, that in itself just speaks volumes besides the legacy both you guys have.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been in the WWE, like you know, we've had success, modest success, nothing but respect for, you know, the WWE universe and an organization. But again, for them to sit there and to say that and recommend us, that just speaks volumes. So, you know, they could have used any other school, but they would say, hey, go to the W school and then come back to us.
Yeah, man.
So right then and there, that put the WWE with me even more on a higher level. I mean, we've always been known as WWE guys, but shit. After that,
yeah,
I'm definitely known as WWE guys.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, listen, dude, you've been a great guest. Not just a guest, you're my friend. You're not a guest. So, I mean, it's just been great catching up with you because we hadn't talked in a while. It's cool that I kind of do that. Like, I catch up with guys on the show so fans get kind of eavesdrop on our conversation. You know, it's kind of fun.
Absolutely. And you know what? I was thinking, you know, you ain't done yet. You need to come back in that square circle. Let's me, you, and Bubba go back up to whether it be WWE, whether it be, you know, New Japan, All Japan, whatever, ROH. Let's go back and tear it down the way we used to do
crazy,
it.
Crazy, bro. Thinking,
brother, we still got some left in the tank. We need to go up there and do it. Hey, listen, if the fans on Twitter are asking us to come back and reform and they are making their voices known, then Taz, we need to go out there and do it. Let's go back and tear up the joint one more time.
Well, I gotta see, here's the thing with my tank. I gotta go in there with, I gotta go in the tank, right, with a chisel, because I got all this rust on the tanks. There's no gas, so there's like rust, and there's like what do you call that, barnacles on the bottom of a ship.
Listen, Johnny Rods, I ain't stupid, okay? About 6 months ago, I'm down at the wrestling school, and he's in there showing the younger talent, you know, all holds and this and that. And he goes, D-Lon, he goes, come here, let me demonstrate something. I said, I ain't getting in that ring. He goes, D-Lon, why won't you get in the ring? I said, because I'm not stupid.
Oh, you know, I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah, I go, I'm not stupid. He goes, what do you mean? I go, Johnny, you might be 70-something years old, but you ain't going to Stu Hart me.
That's
I
right.
I ain't going to get in there, and you put me in a hole, and I'm going to be screaming, and some jack-off is going to be in the back videotaping it, and it's just going to be on YouTube. I ain't stupid. I am not getting in that ring.
I love it. Oh, shit. That's exactly what would have happened.
Exactly. That son of a bitch would have stretched me, and from that point on and to this day, I'd still be in the hole.
There's a good chance of that. Yeah, yeah. Me too, not just you. He did the same to me, so that's why
absolutely.
I avoid him.
Oh, that's yeah, that's great. Why I'm not listening to you when you tell me you ain't got nothing in the tank. You're full of it. Let somebody wear orange and black, and you'll be ready to shoot like that.
Oh, you know. I don't want to say nothing. Well, bro, we got to have you back on again down the road, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I would love to, Taz, anytime, and it was a pleasure and an honor, and I miss you, bro, and next time I'm in New York or wherever we're in the same place, we need to go out and have a big old T-bone steak.
Yes,
and
sir.
Go out there and have a drink, brother.
And good luck with your partner there, Bubba, so I feel for you, just dealing with him
Thanks.
In general. It's a pain in the ass.
Hey, wait a minute. You brought him up in this business. Remember, he is a product of you.
Oh, my God. I know. Dreamer says that. I hear it all the time. I feel bad. I'm sorry to all you guys. I apologize. I ruined him. But Perry sat and also ruined him. Not just me. It was Perry, too.
Oh, brother, it was all you. Perry had a hand in it, but it was you.
On that note, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah.
All right, bro, look, best of the family, and I hope your boys keep kicking ass, your sons, and tell them I said hi, Terrence and Terrell, please. And listen, guys out there, man, go check out the 3D Wrestling Academy. Go down to Florida. Get trained the right way by D-Von and Bubba. Get trained by true pros and legacy guys that are still in shape, that can still tear you up. And I want to thank you guys for what you guys have done for the business and the resurgence of tag team wrestling. I wouldn't be shocked if the Dudley Boys showed up somewhere and put more life into this tag team world, by the way. You know what I'm saying, D-Von?
Hey, let me tell you something. The Twitter world, the Facebook world, they have been itching at the bit for the Dudley Boys to return to WWE. We'd be more than happy to return. We'd be more than happy to be back in the mainstream of things. You know, we want to thank all the fans for their support and reaching out on Twitter and letting them know, hey, keep it going, because, you know, you might not know. You never know. We might return somewhere, and you might get tables again.
Yeah, get the tables. I hear you, bro.
Oh, all right. Hey, wait a minute. You can also follow us on Facebook at Team 3D Academy. You can like us and go on Instagram at Team 3D Academy. And also follow me, Yvonne Dudley, at Testify D-Von.
See, I was going to promote all that stuff. I got a producer. He's really bad. This guy, Seth, he sucks. So he does, bro. He does. Seth, say hi to D-Von.
Hey, D-Von, how are you?
What's up, brother?
See, I'm working with Taz. How do you think it's going?
Seth,
in about 6 months, you'll be miserable.
I'm already there, man. It's already been 6 months. I just hit that threshold.
No, hey, D, Seth is an old school fan, an ECW fan. You know, he's a big wrestling fan, so he knows your history, you know?
Oh, very cool, very cool.
I have you highly ranked in our tag team fantasy draft, higher than Taz did, actually.
No, well, hold on. Now, so,
wow.
D, I don't know if you heard about this.
Hold on. Taz was the one that helped put me on the map. He was the one that actually gave the okay to bring me in, and that's sad to hear that I wasn't at least for the number one guy. I'm sorry. I mean, unless you had LOD in the front, I understand
well,
that.
Well,
LOD is far better than the WWE than the Dudley Boys.
Well, hold on
but
now. Hold on.
Anybody else?
Hold on, bro. Hold on. You're getting all hot. Calm down. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. So Mike Tenay, myself, and Seth, I do a monthly thing like the Fantasy Draft Edition. So on my show here, and we did a tag team edition last month, and you could listen to it online for free. I know you're tight with a buck, bro. You've always been kind of cheap.
Oh, yeah, well, you know.
You got 9,000 kids.
Brother, I'm the Mick Foley of pro wrestling. 9,000 kids and 10,000 that I don't know about.
You are Big Daddy Dudley. So anyway, so we did this tag team deal. We did this tag team deal, and I had, I think my top three. I'm looking at Seth. I know number one for me. Now hear me out, Devon, was Arn Anderson and Tully. Okay, then LOD, and I believe I had the Dudley Boys third. Is that correct, Seth?
I gotta check. I thought you had him like fifth.
Oh, that's bull.
Yeah. I had you guys second to LOD.
Oh, well, thank you, Zach. You know, I like you even better than Taz now. That's messed up.
No. Devon, I didn't have, listen, as far as LOD, I didn't have them number one. A lot of people gave me shit online on Twitter that listened to my show. How could LOD not be number one? Well, I loved LOD. I was a big moth for them. I had the number two. I had Arn and Tully because Arn and Tully could work with anyone. LOD, they guzzled everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at it from a technical standpoint, absolutely Arn and Tully, absolutely, because they were definitely technical wrestlers and heated with the Four Horsemen and all that. So I can see why you had them as number one. I mean, hell, you learned a lot from Arn and Tully, you know?
Yeah.
No question about it. And as far as LOD goes, I mean, just the music alone would give you goosebumps.
Now, I just want to tell you, before we close this bad boy, I would have had you guys number one, but between us, it's because of Bubba. Bubba held you down, bro. Bubba's the reason why I had you look. It's Bubba. Bubba held the team down. Everybody knows that.
See, I can't say anything because you know I got a ride with that man up and down the highway.
Oh, good luck. All right, look, I'm wrapping this bad boy up. Listen, guys, I appreciate you downloading this episode of the Human Podcast Machine. And listen to my great guest here, Devon Dudley. Brother Devon, thank you again. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, thank you, my man. And anytime I can be on your podcast, you let me know, and I'm there, my brother.
All right, man. Look, guys, thank you for downloading this edition of the Human Podcast Machine. I'm Taz for Seth and for Devon. See ya.